David Cameron, James Cameron, Starsky and Hutch, Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson. What do all these guys have in common? They're left-handed, and we have the king, Lefty Ox, and a motherfucker that flies on Painkiller already.
Woot woot.
All right. So, hey, let's kick this thing off like we always do. I'll start with you, Eric, a.k.a. Aviator. Hypothetical situation. You are married. You and your wife switch bodies. Do you have sex with each other just to check it out?
All right. Well, because I am married and my wife and I both listen to Painkiller already, I actually have an accurate answer for you.
All right.
My wife has decided, and I have agreed with her, that that would be not just fun, but mandatory.
Well played. Yeah, you fall into the huge majority on this, that by and large, everyone, well, not everyone, most people want to do it. We have Ricky Chops, who didn't want to do it because his wife does anal and he's not down to reciprocate. And then we had Joe Lozon, who just said that shit's gay. So
Holly didn't want to do it either.
Oh, that's Holly, right. That's right. You know, you'd think he'd be a little more adventurous.
I don't know, man. He has enough adventure in his life in like one area. That's all he needs.
Yeah. All right, Lefty. The same question. Yep. What do you got?
Well, if I were married, I guess I would have to say, yeah, life is an experience, and I guess that would be one of the most unique experiences anybody could ever have. So I would try it, I guess, with the caveat that I could call it quits at any time if I didn't Ooh. Like it.
It's called a right hand.
I don't know.
It's called a right hand.
Guys. Yeah. He's working on his safe words already. This is just normal sex, you know.
I'm serious. I'm like, wait, what is his normal sex like that he has to, you know, put the stipulation in? This is kind of scary.
I know. He's bringing
well,
the whole
I'm pretty
life.
Sure it would be unlike anything that I have ever experienced being on the other end of it. Right?
Well, I would hope that you're experiencing it or that your wife, your supposed wife, is experiencing it in a pleasant enough way that it wouldn't be completely unlike anything you've ever experienced.
Oh, well, then you cannot just make love in two completely different ways.
What happens if the wife uses a condom and not the guy?
Maybe you're putting them on wrong.
Oh, have you ever seen a female condom?
Yeah, I've seen
just
it.
That's awkward.
Just imagine that. You fuck up the female condom, you get your wife pregnant, then you switch back.
Oh.
Oh, man. That would suck. All right,
do you have
right,
to pay
hey.
Child support in that scenario?
It's your wife. You're going to pay some child support.
Yeah, it's your wife, dude. Trust me. They get everything for the rest of your life. All right. So since the last Painkiller already, there's been a pretty notable event in the world. Osama bin Laden is dead. Kyle, thoughts?
You're welcome.
Hey, do you think they should release the photos?
No.
No? Really?
Nope.
I think they should. Go ahead.
Think about it this way, though. Think about it this way. What do you think, I mean, if you were in the military right now, and you were part of the team that takes out Osama bin Laden, are you peeing on his head?
Just a little.
I mean, in all seriousness, that's why they can't release the photos. I mean, think about the outrage that people would have if the world saw what our soldiers most likely did to Osama.
I mean, I teabagged him a little, let's be honest.
I mean, you ain't got to take the picture of me hitting him with the water hose to clean the piss off before we took the picture.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't think there's much of a head left. That's all I have to say.
I heard that they shot him in the eye. And then I heard somewhere that there were two headshots involved. So I don't know what to make of that. But here's my thing, right?
Could there be some FBS Doug involvement?
On a more serious note, it's a freedom of information issue, right? You don't withhold photos or show photos based on whether or not you think it will make you look good. You don't, like, decide to have, you know, information in the public eye based on, I don't know, some short-term concerns. This is like a public right to know. This is like a freedom of speech thing. This is, you know, you either run a clean government or you run a secretive government. And, you know, by not showing this, I feel like they're hiding something and they shouldn't be. They should be putting this stuff out there. They should be as honest as they can be. They can say, this is what went down. He got shot in the eye. You know, whatever. Just tell us the truth instead of having the truth exposed when they don't want it to be a few months from now.
Right.
I don't know
see this exposed until about 10 years from now when you see it on like Discovery Channel. They do the computer breakdowns of how they entered the cave and shit.
And so I'm trying to think that the rest of the Abu Ghraib photos got released about a year later. So I'm betting the same thing happens here. You know, I've heard that they've shared the photos on Capitol Hill, although I've also heard they're fakes. But they'll get out. These photos always get out. And when they do, it'll probably be embarrassing. It'll bring something up again. Then there's another thing, too. Here's the deal. My lasting image of Osama bin Laden right now is him kind of soft-spoken, raspy-voiced, walking around in like a mountainous terrain with an AK-47 by his side, the guy who took down the Russian army, the guy who, you know, spat in the U.S.'s eye, and then died kind of a, you know, quiet, out-of-the-public-eye death. Martyr. I want my lasting image of him to be disgraced, disgusting, and worn out. I want him to serve as a warning for anyone else, you know, who wants to get up and
he wants Obama to get in the big pickup truck and drag him down Capitol Hill.
No, that sounded racist, but like I want the lasting image of Osama bin Laden to be one of embarrassment and shame and losing. I want him to be the clear, like, did not come out on top version of this. I don't want the lasting image of him being the guy who commanded troops from a tent, living an adventure, whatever, recruiting tool type guy. You know?
But he wants the DUI photo of Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
Here's what I want, though. Let's back this up a little bit. Have you guys seen Arrested Development at all?
No.
Yes.
Okay, so you know the house that supposedly Saddam Hussein lived in?
It's not ringing a bell.
Okay, never mind. Well, people in the stream who've seen the show, the whole hook is that this family was secretly building palaces for Saddam Hussein. I want to believe that actually Osama bin Laden was living in these houses and they just nuked the snot out of it, because that would be way funnier.
but on the more serious note, I want the lasting image of Osama bin Laden to be his dead corpse, sort of, you know, with some dried blood on his face, messed up, dumped into the sea. That should be the last chapter in his book. The last chapter in his book should not be him in the shade with his AK talking to a camera about, you know, how he's going to embarrass the U.S. some more. Let's publish that last chapter as a warning to the next guy who's interested in doing the same thing.
I don't think that warning would be heeded by anybody that's looking to take his spot.
Well, I think because the concern... Yeah, go ahead.
One thing you have to understand is that when dealing with these kinds of things, I mean, talking about international politics and all this stuff, terrorists and leaders of, or radical leaders of nation states are known as irrational actors. They don't respond to the same kind of stimuli that would apply to somebody else. Doing the same thing, let's say, for Hitler, right? A leader of Germany or some other dictator, doing the same thing would probably have the desired effect that you want, Woody. But I don't think that when you're talking about a faceless organization, you could say, I don't think that's really going to work. People that are motivated by things that we cannot control, the things we do not understand, I don't think that's really going to work, because they don't fear death. They don't fear embarrassment. They don't fear really anything.
Exactly. I hear what you're saying, and I agree that it won't work in all cases, but I'm sure it will work in some cases. I'm sure at some level, even if it doesn't work on the 17-year-old about to join the wrong organization, it might work on his parents, who can have some influence on him. You know, the guys who've become rational since their younger days.
My concern is making a martyr, though. I mean, think about it. If you think about this thoroughly, if you bring people to see what was their hero as being disgraced in the way that we most likely disgraced him, and I kind of, you know, as most Americans hope that we did, you know, you have to be concerned that you will create more martyrs out of this concept that we disgraced this person that was their hero.
Just think about
what would happen if we all disgraced Woody right now. I mean, we'd piss off a lot of trolls.
I guess we'll wrap up that topic, but yeah, I think that disgracing will you know, tarnish his image a little bit, and it'll be a cool thing. So new topic.
I'm good. You just skip right over me.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm gonna talk about his death, not the disgracing period. I don't think his death will mean jack dick, to be perfectly honest to you. I think Osama bin Laden, or he had slipped into the chapter of his life where he was just a forgotten memory, a ghost that was still hanging around. That's what he was. He was like what Pearl Harbor is now. Kids nowadays don't know what Pearl Harbor is. They don't understand the repercussions of Pearl Harbor. They can read it in a book. They can do all this, but people are still going out buying German cars. We play Sony PlayStation and all that things. But the fact is, the whole repercussions and how the country felt at that time is no longer there. It's just a phantom. And I think Osama bin Laden's in the same category there, because at this point when I heard he died, I didn't give a shit. And I'm a super patriot. I'm like, his death meant nothing to the country. His death solved nothing to the country.
Does a super patriot wear a cape?
Yeah. <it's>,
I'm just fucking with you, man.
Yeah.
I just love the pause here. This is money. This is like the best kind of awkward pause you want to have in radio. It's like, what the heck did he just say?
I mean, I'm a pretty good patriot and everything, but not a super patriot. Just kind of.
But the fact is,
average patriot.
What did we accomplish by killing him other than like getting, you know, little kids excited?
Really? No. I think we took away a key recruiting tool. I think that he was still an inspirational leader. I think people wanted to be involved in his organization. He was a big part of that.
Well, also, apparently, they found a whole lot of information on, I forget the guy's name, El something Zawahiri, I think.
Throw a Muhammad in there, usually close.
I'm trying to walk.
We are not affiliated with Woody at all.
Wow. Yeah. So, guys, it was great being on the show.
Damn, Kyle, you racist.
What?
But apparently, they got a lot of information on the inner workings of that whole group. So there will probably be a whole lot more from it, stuff that we'll never see or hear about, or at least for a while. But they did apparently, allegedly, I should say, get a whole lot of information that they are able to put to good use.
I'm sorry about that Mohammed joke. I just thought I was being funny. No, well, I feel bad. But you guys ready for the next topic?
Some Woody is to stand by your guns.
We'll see how you feel about that gas truck loaded with Simtex by your house. Jesus Christ.
All right. I'm going to start this one with Kyle. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. So you are surrounded, right, by 100 Romans dressed in typical, 300 type flair Spartans. I don't give a crap what they are, but they can be Greeks if you want. But let's go with 100 Romans. They've got their spears, they've got their phalanx, they've got their shields, they've got their helmets on and whatever fur and capes they might be wearing. And you're surrounded, right? So they're in a circle around you. You get two things from modern time to deal with these 100 Romans who are going to attack you. What are you going to do?
How big can the things be?
Oh, that is an excellent question. You need to carry these things. So you can't have a tank. You can't have an AC-130. For example, you might want an AA-12 complete with, a backpack and all the ammo that goes with it, and a sit and spin. And then just and then just take care of business. Another idea that I heard was, some sort of really toxic, gas, like a mustard gas, I don't know, and a gas mask, and just drop that thing at your feet and let it rip. So, so let's hear, what are your ideas for dealing with it?
I think I want a flashlight.
A flashlight?
I want a flashlight and a walkie-talkie. Well, a set of walkie-talkies. I think with a flashlight and a set of walkie-talkies, I could convince these people that I'm God. Then I would have an army of 100 Romans.
Best answer ever. You don't need to ask anyone else. That was the best answer.
All right, Wings, go next.
We got to be able to carry it.
Yeah, you have to carry it.
So we can't get like triple 26s?
I don't even know what a triple 26 is.
It's an anti-aircraft weapon.
Unless you can carry it. And I'm looking for, it could be
an M60.
Well, you're
talking the super patriot here. So.
Oh, yeah. So I'm picturing wings and a cape. A cape and an M60 And I don't know. There's some sort of stepladder he can stand on as he takes him out. What do you got, Wings? 100 Romans. What are you going to do?
Dylan chain gun with like 5,000 rounds of ammunition.
Can you turn around with that?
Yeah, if it's bipodded down.
All right. I'm going to call that one thing. What else you want? A t-shirt that says, I am professional Russian?
I mean, do we have to kill them? I mean, I really want like a peace treaty.
Here are the two things I want. A bull phone and a megaphone and a peace treaty.
How about their king's head and a catapult?
Hey, Eric, you have mic issues. You're kind of humming on us here.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So what do you got, Wings? What are you coming down with?
Me?
What was the weapon again?
A Dylan chain gun and a peace treaty.
And a peace treaty? All right, Lefty. You want the last shot at this? Lefty?
I want one. I want a shot at it.
All right, bring it.
All right, so I'm going to say the one thing that I think everyone in the stream must be thinking, though I haven't seen it yet, and that's One Man Army and NoobTube.
One Man Army, NoobTube. You know, but the NoobTube for 100 people, I think you want to spray and pray.
I don't know, man. I don't know. With danger close, I think I can get them all with one shot.
Ooh. Yeah, I was specific about the surrounded thing, though.
Oh.
But I hear where you're coming from. You could easily get the world's fastest nuke with your strategy. That
might be the way to G-unit?
That might be the thing to do, right? Even if they're surrounding you, you're going to get like 5 or 6 people per shot. In no time at all, you'll have like a Harrier.
I'm looking at it like this. You spark up any kind of automatic weapon, they're going to go running because they've never seen it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, you know, like if there's 100 of them and you quickly drop 40, then I'm guessing the other 60 might lose their will to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Hmm.
Is Lefty still with us?
Yes, I am here.
All right, Lefty.
I wish Kyle never asked that first thing, because I'd be like, AH-64 Super Apache and a pilot.
Let's see, two things. Can I get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in his prime and a baseball bat, please?
All right. At least you'll go down swinging.
Well, because they're all like 4 feet tall, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I mean, he's got reach, so we're good to go.
That's awesome.
Nice. All right, topics, anybody? Little help? I just got back from vacation.
PSN is still down.
I heard
that
it was up.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Is that true? Is it up or is it down?
It is.
It got hacked again.
Yeah.
What happened? I've been out at sea.
Well, they went down Wednesday 2 weeks ago, and mm-hmm. now it's Thursday 2 weeks later, and they got hacked, and they rebuilt the entire thing, and this says it's about to bring it back up. They got hacked again.
Oh, how unfortunate.
And they're planning a third hack when they go to bring it up again.
Awesome.
Man.
Hey, remember Xbox Live went down in 2007?
For 3 days, yeah.
Yeah, for 3 days, asshole, in 2007.
Yep. Yeah, somebody wrote that Sony was actually the PSN platform was actually much more secure, and that the Xbox would go down if anyone cared to take it down. As if the Xbox has no haters. As if you know
exactly.
Everyone, dude, there's so many people who would love to take down the Xbox.
And it's all the smart guys too. It's all the smart guys. It's all the guys who play on PC. You know, those are the guys who want to take down the Xbox.
So it's down again, but I heard the credit card information was more secure. It's all encrypted, and it's hard to crack that.
To be perfectly honest, this is just hearsay, though. I don't think they're after credit card information. I think they're more after a point.
Yep.
I wouldn't bet against that. You know, I bet they're pissed off at Sony for something, or they just want to do it. I don't know.
Sony pressed charges against some hacker, mm-hmm. and they put him in jail, and they said they were going to keep the PSN down until they released him from jail.
Oh, that's awesome if they do that.
That'd be crazy.
What if they give in and they're like, fine. That would be so awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I've heard that same story, Wings. I think it's true. I don't know. I don't have any reason to.
I mean, like I said, I'm not doing all hearsay because there's like 15 million fabricated news sites with different stories and informations.
Yeah, the stream is saying he's not actually in jail. But I do know about the guy that they're prosecuting.
He's in South America now, isn't he?
Really?
That's what I heard. Yeah, Geo-Hot, I think, went to South America, is what I understand.
Did someone supply him with a plane and get him out of there?
That was me. Sorry, guys. That was you.
So, Aviator, what's your story? You're like a... Shucks, I hope I'm not saying too much here. High school dropout come millionaire? Does this sound about right?
Not quite millionaire, man. It's a common misconception. Me and Kyle are the quasi-rich guys. It's cool.
So, tell me a story, man. I want to hear about you.
Life story in a nutshell. Let's see. I was homeschooled. Well, at first I was conceived, and then I was born. And then I was homeschooled.
Tell us more about the conception.
Well, it was a dark night. And I think that there was a one-handed man, and there was something going on inside of a sailboat. It was kind of creepy. I don't know.
Oh my God. Back to our pre-stream conversation. Well played. All right.
Yeah, so I was homeschooled all the way through, and about, I guess, 4 months before my graduation, I dropped out because when I was 13, I started a business selling airplanes on the internet. And this is back. I'm old. I like to say that I'm almost as old as everyone that's almost as old as Woody, which means I'm like 25 and they're like 7,000 and Woody's like 9,400. So that's pretty good. But no, so I was homeschooled till I was 17, dropped out. About 3 months before I dropped out, I broke my back in a pretty bad accident, flying. And it's actually on the ground, but I broke my back in four places and it kind of completely changed my life. So I took the next, gosh, I guess 5 years and just did a lot of traveling. I moved in 7 years. I moved 32 times. We just bought a house. It's my 32nd move.
So let me slow you down for a second. At 13 years old, you were selling airplanes on the internet?
Yes. Yes, I was. My grandmother has a restaurant, and when I was 9, I started working there full time. And when I was 13, I could afford my first part for an airplane. And so I bought the tail section for an airplane, and it was kind of a pain to put together because it's like 1,000 million parts. And I'm, you know, 13 years old, ADHD kid that's freaking out like, oh my God, it's so much work. So this new thing called the internet, had this website called barnstormers2000.com. This is 1998 or 1999. And so I went to that website and put it up for sale, and I sold it in like 3 days. And so the guy I bought it from goes, dude, I've had these airplanes in my hangar for years. You sold it in 3 days. I'll give you 10% if you sell any for me. So I started brokering airplanes left and right, and just, you know, I'd sell one for myself and I'd just upgrade to the next one, a little bit higher, bigger. And over, I guess, 5 years, just under 5 years, I owned 52 airplanes and sold several hundred. And, you know, it was a very interesting adventure because I started with ultralights, and by the time it was done, I was listing, you know, light business jets and stuff. So it's kind of wild.
This is from 13 to 18.
Yep.
Nice. Okay. And then you started traveling and living the life of the slacker?
Traveling and living the life of the overachiever. I'm kind of a workaholic, or I used to be. I started a marketing company when I was 16 because people were asking how I was making money on the internet, so I decided to teach them. And that grew really, really rapidly. And we actually sold that business / closed it down last year in January. And now I'm quasi-retired playing video games, making videos for YouTube, and taking pictures at weddings for a living.
Wow.
It's kind of a convoluted story. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So do you ever think about going to get your GED and sort of wrapping up, like, closing that chapter?
Not at all, actually. I have no reason to get a job. And if I ever need to get a job, basically at this point I have enough life skills that I can do pretty much anything I want to in sales, marketing, consulting. My last quote unquote job, I was getting paid an literally insane amount of money per hour to consult. And, that's, I have no desire to.
What if you want to work for McDonald's?
You know, maybe someday I will go get my GED to get a job at McDonald's. That might actually be kind of funny.
What kind of consulting services did you offer?
I help people build businesses in rapid form. Like, I don't know if you guys see, like, okay. First, you take a movie release, right? A movie release is scheduled over 6 to 8 months for a big movie, right? And you get teased with a, you know, 15-second trailer 8 months out. Hey, this movie's coming soon. It's going to be awesome. Oftentimes, they don't even have, like, anything for the, you know, what the movie is. I used to do that same thing for businesses, but I'd build an online, offline campaign in, like, really niche markets like golf balls, you know, and I'd kind of help people figure out how to build anticipation for a really, you know, high-yield product. I could sell an ebook for $50. That cost me nothing to deliver, and I could sell, you know, 50,000 of them. So it's kind of one of those fun things.
Huh. Have you ever pursued venture capital before?
I have not, purposely.
Okay. Huh. We should talk offline.
Okay. We've had that planned for a while. We need to talk.
Lefty, that should be an easy story to follow. Tell me your life story.
Sorry, Lefty. I want to hear your story too, though, man. I've heard you're actually wicked awesome.
From who?
Man, Wings loves you. I don't know, man.
This is off to a brilliant start. Go ahead.
Well, I think I have an idea in mind of the story that Wings wants me to tell. And for a while, indeed this entire show, I've been thinking about whether I actually want to say it, because it actually is something that's very personal to me. And you know what, my thought on it is the sun, Wings and I talked about this last night, actually. The sun's gonna nova. Nobody's gonna give a crap. So here we go. When I was 19 years old, in the lead up to the beginning of my sophomore year in college, I went down to my fraternity house about 2 weeks before school started, to move in. And, we're moving stuff in, and it's like 2 weeks long. You know, you move in, you clean the house a little bit, and you party for a week and a half before school starts. And, my girlfriend at the time was with me, and we were partying at the house one night, and we decided to go to bed. It was late, / early in the morning. Went to bed, and apparently, so I'm told, after about 45 minutes, after I fell asleep, I got up and went to the window in my room and moved the 32-inch flat screen TV I had. And this is the old school flat screens, the one that are, you know, 150, 160 pounds. Picked that up and jumped out of the third story window.
So let me recap this a little bit. You're headed back to school, and before classes start, you kind of clean up the house and move into a frat house. This is at a college. Mm-hmm. And there's a TV that's maybe blocking the window, but in this kind of sleepwalks, drunk state, you move the TV and jump out the window?
Yep. I pick up the TV, move it, and climb out the window and start and try to jump out. Because my girlfriend at the time had woken up and tried to stop me and all that stuff. And to clear it up, I was sleepwalking at the time.
Do you recall what was going through your mind? Like the dream that was playing out? Like what was going on?
No. The only thing I can think of is because they, you know, everybody, you know, the doctors were asking me this a lot, and they're like, what were you, do you remember your dream? And I said, no, the only thing I can think of is, I was playing Dead Rising a lot at the time. The original one. And if anybody remembers when you start out from Dead Rising in the mall, you go out, the main route out into the mall, and there's a little path you can take up the left side of the main concourse to get to the outside where you fight the first boss, the convicts. And, there's a little store that you can cut through to get past a huge chunk of zombies. And to do that, you have to jump through two plate glass windows. And so my idea is that in my dream, I was fighting zombies or running from zombies, and I had to get out the window.
Wow.
I think. I have no idea. I woke up 3 days later in the hospital.
Three days later? Wait. I thought you didn't jump through the window.
Well, my girlfriend at the time, like I said, she was wrestling with me to stop, and I pushed her away. Apparently, again, I don't remember any of this. This is
not, you gotta this put them in their place. Her.
Uh-huh. Is that right hand we're talking about?
And so I started to jump out the window, and then I fell, and for some reason I grabbed the ledge of the window as I was dangling off, and she grabbed my wrists, and of course, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm 6'5". I was like 230 pounds at the time. And she was, I think she was like 5'9" and like a buck 20, buck 30. So the physics of it wasn't going to work. And I let go. So she had to either let me go or go with me. And she had to let me go and watch me fall.
Wow.
Wow. Are you still with her?
No, we broke up.
Was it related to this, or you broke up sometime later?
In a way, and this is what, Wings and I were talking about yesterday. In the aftermath of that, in my recovery, I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, and that was causing severe depression. And I became rage-filled and paranoid, and she just couldn't handle it. But, I mean, not like she should have. Not like she like I look back. I was like, oh, how can you not handle that? But that was
wow.
Can I ask you how long ago this was?
2006. In the summer of 2006.
Have you had any other episodes like this where you walk in your sleep or do crazy things?
I've slept walk since I was a little kid. From time to time, it's, you know, it's not like, oh, he's doing it again. It comes and goes. It's, you know, I never knew when it was going to happen. I have no recollection of it. The only reason I knew about it, was because my parents knew. They were like, oh, well, you were sleepwalking last night. And usually it was just me trying to find the bathroom. This time, apparently, Dead Rising got to me.
Growing up,
I have to say that the best story of a sleepwalk I've ever heard is actually an ex-girlfriend of mine. Her little sister would sleepwalk to the laundry room to pee in the washing machine every night. Just to make this a little bit lighter, because I can see the stream kind of going, oh my gosh, this is so sad. Yeah, so just next time pee in the washing machine, your life will be better. I promise.
It would be better than jumping out a window, I guess.
Sure.
Growing up, I had, as far as I know, there are three like major sleep disorders. There's walking in your sleep, talking in your sleep, and then night terrors, and I had them all. And I remember talking in my sleep was a fairly like common thing. My mother tells one story where I was sleeping on my couch, and she wanted me to go upstairs and go to my bed. And I was like, you know, Matt, go to bed. And I'm like, no. And she's like, you know, look, it's past your bedtime. It's time to go. And I look at her, and I'm like, no, I can't. And she's like, why can't you go to bed? You know, explain this. And I'm like, I just can't do it. With this like motion that says, you know, can't you see? And she's like, just go to bed. Enough of this. And to hear her tell the story, I gave her this look that said, you dumb bitch. And and I said, Mom, the chains. Can't you see the chains? And she says, no, I don't see any chains. And then I look down and don't see any chains either and go to bed. That's one of my sleep talking. But the night terrors were a bigger thing. And they got, I could retell a cool story, bro, from like Painkiller Already episode 2 where I got robbed. You guys down or is it, or no repeats?
I'm sort of thinking that'd be a wicked ass fucking horror movie. Fucking sit there standing there in the hallway like, where, look at the chains.
All right. So the stream is overwhelmingly saying to tell this story. So forgive me if you guys were around since Painkiller episodes 1 and 2, back when I told it the first time. But here's the deal. So it starts off with my house getting robbed. I'm not driving at the time. So maybe I'm 15 or 16 years old. And at first, my mother, like, just, there's no money in her purse. When she would sort of reliably go and get more money for the week every Friday, and come Saturday or Sunday, there's no money in her purse. She doesn't know what it is and thinks it may have been her, that she just misplaced it or spent it and didn't really like know what happened. And then the next week, her money's missing again. And now, you know, look, it didn't happen 2 weeks in a row that she just suddenly forgot she bought something. Money's missing. And then maybe it takes a week off, come week 4 or so. It's missing again. And that's when my brother and I had kind of this heart to heart, like, you know, we were both like, look, man, are you stealing mom's money? You know, what's up? What's going on? Is there something happening with you? And we both walked away from the conversation convinced that the other one wasn't stealing the money. And then obviously knowing that, you know, we weren't the ones stealing the money. So, now we know that on a nearly weekly basis, every weekend, someone's stealing money from my mother's purse. And she would just leave her purse, like, hung on one of the chairs at the kitchen table. Well, she wised up a little bit and started putting the money, like, in kitchen cabinets or something like that. Or putting her purse in there. And one day, she doesn't know where her money is. And we find her purse in the backyard, kind of opened up with the contents of it scattered about. And the cash is missing. So now it's a clear-cut thing. Like, someone has broken into our house, emptied the contents of her purse, grabbed the cash, and left the rest on our backyard. So this is happening again and again and again. My friends and I have this master plan to hide out in the house, and we were going to capture the thief and shave like thief into his head and rough him up and this and that. So on a Friday night, we all camp out and wait in our living room. But being like idiotic teenagers, we weren't able to keep quiet, and the thief never came. So maybe we prevented that night. There was another time. So I slept on the couch a lot as a teenager, and I had the money, like my wallet, on a coffee table. It was like 18 inches from me where I was sleeping. And he came in. He opened this like Velcro surfer wallet thing, took the cash out of it, tossed it on another couch, and left. He was literally like a foot from me. and as he stole the money out of my wallet, which was right next to me. And this made me mad, and it made me scared. I started sleeping with a knife under the couch and things like that. And then one night, I was up extra late. I remember I was watching, I'll never forget, the ESPN Lumberjack Cutoffs. And it's where they take, like, motorcycle engines and attach them to chainsaws and cut through giant trees in seconds. And I hear this, like, creaking on the basement steps. Our house had a door that led to the basement from the outside and then to the inside from our downstairs basement. And he's coming into the inside of the house. Like, he's in our basement already, and he's coming into, you know, like, by the kitchen where the door leads. So, and I just hear it, like, creak, 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 and I hear him coming up the stairs. And I go to meet him at the top of the stairs. And I see his fingers, like, wrapped around the door where he's sort of, like, pulling the door back closed again or opening it or something. But what I do is I shut the door really hard on his fingers, then I open it, and I start cursing at him loud, like, motherfucker, god damn it, you know, fuck you, and just start yelling at him at the top of my lungs. And he looks at me with this petrified look. He's a really skinny guy. He's this light-skinned black guy, and he had a hat on. He had, like, a jean jacket on and maybe jeans. And he looked at me and literally fell down backwards, like he just froze up, fell backwards down the stairs and rolled down the stairs. And started running through the basement and out the door that he came in, the basement door that led to the outside. And I chased him maybe through the basement, and then he kind of got away, and I was kind of okay with that, you know. So he took off through the backyard, and my yelling had woke up my father. He actually gave chase through the backyard, but the guy had a bicycle, like a house or two away, and he jumped on that and ran away. We called the police. They brought in the canine unit. They chased him for a bit. They actually went to his house because they had this feeling who it was, you know, straight there, right? So some guys came to our house, some guys went to his, but he didn't go straight home. And they put out an APB for him and such, but they didn't catch him that night. Anyway, I felt kind of brave on game day. You know, on the day where I faced him, I really did, you know, confront him head on, yelled at him, scared him away, stopped the whole thing. You know, I was good to go. But for like 10 years after that, I had nightmares. And they happened a lot at first. They happened maybe 3 times a week. And then, you know, towards the end of that like 10-year period, it was really uncommon, like maybe every 6 months or something like that. But the way that the nightmare would play out was always the same. I would be in my bed in this like half awake, half asleep like situation, and there's a bad guy coming in the room toward me, just like, you know, maybe the wallet on the coffee table situation. And I'm only half awake, so I can't move. I'm just sort of like working my way out of sleep. And in the dream, that manifests itself as me being too scared and paralyzed to move. I can't quite yell. I can't quite move. I can't do anything until I wake up, you know, in a sweat, and then I deal with it. So so that was like there's the whole story. I know it's a long one, but and while I don't want to compare myself to like a soldier, you know, who's seen real action, it kind of gave me insight to what post-traumatic stress disorder could be like, you know, and how you can sort of, you know, do it and be okay on game day and then be actually affected by it later on. So, so there it is. There's my cool story, bro. Haven't used that one in a while.
You know, the post-traumatic stress disorder be happening all on his side of the field, because my ass wouldn't be cussing at him.
Yeah, you also have to remember this is, you know, like the 16 or 15 year old version of
That's good. I had 12 gauge.
Yeah. I bet you did.
You know what Jordy's thinking here? Wings is saying, man, if I was 16 or 15, I couldn't be held as an adult. That's fine, man.
Well, they asked if they got him. Yeah, that to wrap up the story, and it won't take long. I reread about a guy in the paper who, you know, fit the description and was found guilty of something like 32 cases of robbery that fit our description. So I don't know if they ever nailed him on like our actual, you know, robberies, but I think they caught that guy, and he was stealing money for drugs, which is why he was so skinny.
Yeah, he wouldn't have made it past the bottom of the steps. They'd have found him that night.
Yeah, I mean, the me of today would have been armed.
He at least been fucked up for the rest of his life walking.
Yeah, the me of today would have had, you know, some sort of weapon in that situation. It would have been a whole lot different. But you know, I was 16. That was thousands of years ago.
I mean, I would have kicked him in the chest if nothing else, and sent his ass flying backwards on those stairs.
I shut the door in his hand. That was kind of good.
That's pretty baller, dude. It's pretty freaking baller.
I mean, if he's like on the steps coming up after you shut the door in his hand, and he's all startled. Kick him right in the face.
Oh yeah, man! Like, dude. If to replay it, and by the way, like, even though I was kind of a skinny guy, I was physically superior to this one, and you know, to replay it, I could have done a whole lot with him, but you know,
he had so many advantages on him. You had the height advantage, you had the surprise advantage.
I had surprise, I had height, I was stronger than that guy.
Guys, do I have to point this out? This was like at least 7,000 years ago.
I know. I mean, yeah.
You can't change the past.
Yeah, I mean, you could have used a spear or your sling. Or,
exactly. I kept a mace under my bed.
Yeah. They had doors then?
It was kind
of he shattered the man's hand. It was one of these big oak barriers that they called doors. Right.
He rolled the stone away.
Oh, man. Kyle, ever get robbed?
Fuck. I've had things go missing, and it was someone who stole it. Not in a long time. Somebody stole a paintball gun from me one time, but I had left it, like, you know, bikes have that space, like, below the mainframe, like, for a water bottle to go?
Yeah.
Like, I had the pistol in that. I had a paintball pistol, and I had it in there, so I'd ride my bike and pull it out and shoot at people. And, the dude just came up. Somebody stole it, like, it was in front of my house, and getting to my house was, back then, was, that was a feat that he would come up my driveway and get that thing. I couldn't believe it, but somebody took that. And then my dad has had some power tools and stuff go missing. But no, nobody's really been dumb enough to actually go in and actually try to take anything.
You know, I live in Tennessee. I had everything stolen. I had 13 guns stolen. Xbox, TV, everything. Yeah.
Were you out of town?
Yeah, I wasn't there. Of course.
Oh, that fucking sucked.
No.
You had 13 guns stolen?
All my guns were stolen. All the ones that I had in Tennessee at the time, yeah.
I mean, were they in a big safe?
No. Dude, are you kidding me? I was 18. We didn't know what safes are.
All right.
You gotta remember combinations to those things.
I have to stop, you know, the craziness to do that.
I've never had anything stolen from me, per se, other than, like, you know, somebody borrow a DVD and never bring it back. But I have shot at somebody before.
And, really?
It wasn't with live ammo, it was with rock salt.
That counts as, you know, that counts as the same as if you use buckshot.
Really?
Under the law. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, wow. if you point a gun, even if it's blank ammo or whatever, it's considered assault with a deadly weapon. Like, wow. You've got, because I was researching, like, specialty 12-gauge ammo, and they make confetti ammo. Like, you shoot and it shoots, like, a burst of confetti.
That would be awesome.
And, like, I was doing some research on forums, and they were like, keep in mind, guys, like, if you shoot somebody and they don't like it, it's considered assault with a deadly weapon.
Yeah, well, I didn't want these guys to like it anyway. We had some place to live in a. I used to have these guys. I used to live in a different section. That we used to live on, like, this farm type area, and we had fields and stuff. And these guys would come through with four wheelers every night, you know, just tearing up the fields, doing whatever to fill me please. So pull the shotgun out one night and start shooting at them with the rock salt.
What else would you do?
I know, right?
I mean, it had no chance of even getting to them, but it scared the shit out of them. They never came back.
That's true, man. Like, I'm an off-roader, and while I've never, you know, tread on other people's land, I have had friends who are like, you can't go through there, man. They come out with shotguns. They don't even ask questions. They just start shooting. And that's a pretty effective way to solve the problem. The word gets out.
I had that happen once. It's kind of terrifying. You're going down this back road, and all of a sudden there's a guy yelling at you from his porch carrying a shotgun. Okie dokie, sir, we're out of here.
Well, let me tell you, they sped up real quick that night. That rock salt probably died out nowhere near them.
Yeah, I imagine rock salt loses its momentum quickly.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say that's like a 30-yard type thing.
Yeah, it's just I just did it mainly for the sound to get them to quit coming back.
Yeah. Speaking of, like, weird, I was at the gun store today, and I usually just walk in there and see what they've got, and I'm like, yeah, I'll take some of that. Because they went in, they've got a suppressed 22 rifle, so I went and played with that a little bit. That was pretty cool. But I got some safety slugs for my 45, and those are some deadly-ass fucking rounds. They're like, I don't know, it's like a pile of compressed, like number 9 shot inside a 45 Spitzer. So it like expands to like double its normal size, which it so it ends up being like 9/10 of an inch wide, the hole it cuts. And it sprays the inside of the individual with 9 shot. So yeah.
I have to have this. I have to have some of this, man. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I know, right?
When isn't dead enough.
If that's not good enough for you, they make something called Devastator rounds. So you can get these in pretty much any caliber. They're basically exploding ammo. They have an explosive inside them. You shoot the bad guy, it goes inside of him, and the bullet explodes.
Are these like red tips? Are these law enforcement only round, or is it a...
That's bullshit. Everybody always talks about, oh, those are like regulated and important. Nah, you can get whatever the fuck you want online, man.
Well, I know you can, but I'm asking what the legality is here.
Legality?
Dude, my brother's a cop. I can get whatever the heck I want, period.
Where are you? What state are you in, Eric?
Florida.
Yeah, you're... Florida. Oh. There are some restrictions in Florida. You should come to Georgia.
Not when your cousin's in the SWAT team.
Yeah, you can pretty much whatever you want, but the Devastator rounds are pretty fucking cool. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, I mean, a hollow point round is pretty fucking serious when it comes to anti-people.
My wife is going to visit her parents with the 2 kids tomorrow for 10 days. She's going to take care of them because they're sick and they're not eating right. And
we need gammon.
Yeah, man. I don't know what she's going to come home to. There's definitely going to be a safe. And what I'm filling it with, I'm not quite sure. But
putting stuff in there? Does this mean something to you? Yeah.
No, like, you know,
beanie babies and some crap
I want a rifle quiet enough to fire in the neighborhood. I want a shotgun. And the list might be that small. I'm not sure. But we'll have a good time.
If I can encourage you on something to get that's legal, I don't know if it's legal. Like, I live in town now. We just bought a house in town, and we can't legally fire a firearm. Mm-hmm. But we've got a silenced spring-action 22 caliber pellet gun that's got, 1,300 feet a minute. You know, it puts out, and it is great for just annoying the local cats. And it's literally dead silent. You can't hear it 5 feet away.
1,300 feet per second. Won't that kill a cat?
Yes. Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, it kills the snot out of the cat, but that cat does not come around again.
It doesn't leave either.
In a corner somewhere.
Exactly. I have a gutter nearby. It goes away.
Did I say 1,300 feet a minute? I meant a second. 1,300 feet a minute is nice and everything. I can drive that fast.
You can walk that fast. What are you talking about?
Can I? 1,300 feet a minute? I'm not quite. Yeah, I guess I could. This is not very impressive. Unless I'm shooting like a, I don't know, boulder.
Aviator, you're on Ghost with that 22?
You know, from time to time I've been known to, but I mainly use Second Chance with it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Don't use Second Chance. Just trust me. The world will hate you for it.
Dude, I bought it the other day. We were doing that whole, what's it called, the random class generator, and I bought it for the first time in 14 prestiges, and I felt dirty. Like, I literally felt like a worse man for doing it. Just for buying Second Chance.
Yeah, the only perks that I don't have pro on are Scout and Second Chance.
Yep, I believe it.
Dude, when the game first came out, this is before Second Chance had the reputation it does now, because Last Stand wasn't like that crooked in Modern Warfare 2, right?
You know, it was just annoying as hell.
It was a little annoying, but you dropped and you could get back up possibly, but not usually. And I don't know, one man army, that was the perk that everybody hated. A painkiller, that was the thing that everybody hated. People didn't really talk about how much they hated Last Stand in the same level that they did some of those other perks. So when Black Ops came out, I was like, hey, look, you know, Second Chance, this is actually pretty cool. And I mentioned it on my channel. And I had this one game. So when Black Ops first came out, I struggled. And I had this one game, I remember it, right? So to get this, it really should have been Wings' game, because, like, I got to maybe a 3-kill streak, and then I'm in Second Chance. I forget I killed the guy or someone else killed the guy, and Wings revives me. So then I call in my care package, and this is Nuketown, by the way, and I call in my care package, and I forget what I get, something lame. Wings turns it into a chopper gunner for me, right? So then I get my chopper gunner. And by the way, the game's just coming out. People don't have Strelas and everything. This might have been the first night the game was out, but I had been playing it for a week.
I think I saw this game, dude.
Maybe you did. Like, a million people saw this game.
I'm pretty sure I saw this game. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, Wings totally made it for me. I forget how it ended. I'll call it, like, 35-2. It wasn't amazing or anything, but what was neat to me was that I didn't do anything anything remarkable. I got like a 3-kill streak and Wings handled the rest. And, and I think in that game, I suggested second chance. It was all made possible because of my second chance and his, re-rolling a care package. And that was that. But,
that's when I actually got Hardline Pro was after that video. I was like, oh, dude, the Hardline Pro thing's awesome. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I had been living down that horrible video for ages as everyone, you know, at least for a long time, they thought of me as the second chance guy. I'm not sure it still lives on.
It was your second video on WMD that got me. That was like, that's when I saw the trolls come out in force and go, we hate Woody. He uses second chance.
And then I stopped using it. Like, you know, I'm like 150 videos later and they still remember that one. Cut your brain. Although I will stand by the ghost one. Like I gave this advice so I had the game maybe a week before it came out, and it was like, look, here's the deal. Spy Plane is a default kill streak. On the night that you get this, go straight to ghost, and then you'll be invulnerable to the, you know, 9 spy planes that pop up a game, because every single player in the game tonight is going to be rocking Spy Plane. And and that, you know, like, I hope that when Modern Warfare 3 comes out, I'm able to give similar advice. Like, hey, look, you know, I've been playing this for a week. You're getting it tonight. These are some of the things I learned that I can help you with. Like, that, I want to do that again if I can.
I remember telling you not to give that advice.
It doesn't matter. It was still good advice. I stand by it today. If Black Ops came out today, I'd be rocking Ghost, because every single player on both teams would be running Spy Plane.
True that.
I'm hoping Ghost doesn't make it past Black Ops. I'm hoping this is the
next
incarnation of any stealth perk, period.
You know what would be cool? It would be cool. Think about this with me. Modern Warfare 3 comes out. The Strela or Stinger or whatever you're going to call it, that comes with its own perk. So if you're rocking that in the primary slot, you get Ghost Pro, right? Or you get, I mean, just for the people who want to shoot stuff down, they're getting destroyed by air support. Say that Ghost doesn't exist, but when you pull your Strela out, all of a sudden you have Ghost.
I could see that.
Crazy idea?
I like it. You know, then that can be the only thing it does. I liked that they got rid of stopping power because it opened up the selections. Like, you know, the second perk slot in previous Call of Duties was pretty much filled, right? There's only one thing you could realistically run. So I like that they did that. In hindsight, I wish that they had buffed every gun to be like stopping power. You know, people say Black Ops is slow. If it had the quick kills that the previous Call of Duties had, I think it'd be a little more interesting to play. I'd like to see maybe a playlist. I don't know how hard it is to do, where all the guns are buffed as if they had stopping power. I think it'd be fun to play.
A lower health. That's easier.
But, yeah, either way is fine, right? You know, turn the health down from 100 to 80 or so. And then
I think you just slap stopping power on the game, because the FAMAS would not benefit from it, nor would the AUG. Only guns like the M16 and the AK and the Commando and the Galil, they'd be guns that would benefit from it.
Did they do something to the G11? Because I haven't played the game very much, but I've been getting on lately to play the map packs, and like G11 was, it took 3 bursts at one point to kill someone.
I got a 7 hit marker, like 7 burst hit markers earlier today.
I know, right? Like 7. What's up with that?
I went back and watched that all the time. If it's worse now, I don't know what to say. What I like about the G11. Is that I never have to worry about ammo. I can always reload whenever I want to. Because there's 45 rounds in that thing.
48, like, man. It's balling.
Is it 48? All right.
Yeah.
48 rounds, it's not like I kill someone and have to reload. Whereas with some of the other weapons, like it take a FAMAS, I should be able to get 2 or 3 kills to a clip. But if I kill someone, I should think strongly about reloading, right? Maybe next time I find 2 guys or whatever. With the G11, you reload whenever it works for you. Plus, you almost never run out of ammo on a life. Like, you have to have a pretty good life to run out of G11 ammo. So so I like it for that reason. But if it takes 3 bursts to get a kill, then it's one of the slowest killing guns in the game. Mm. So, did they put a patch out?
They have patched it, yeah. They did nerf the G11.
I missed that one.
That was like a month ago. They commented on the fact that they're looking at different guns in the game. I may be mistaken on this. I think it was like 2 patches ago. They were talking about touching the G11 and the AK-74U.
Yeah, I don't know. I know for sure it doesn't seem like it used to, because I think maybe they just did it over distance, because up close I can get those one burst kills like from the hip,
right?
But like I was trying to pick people off long range, and it was like 1 burst, 2 burst, 3 burst, and they run away. It's like, fuck, what the hell?
Yeah, they didn't mention the G11 in their patches, so if they did it, they did it quietly.
Huh.
So that's another thing. They mentioned that they they changed sniping, but they didn't tell you what the change was.
It's awesome.
it sucks that they didn't tell us what the change was. They need to be more open with that stuff. You know, David Vondahar wrote back to me on Twitter and said, you know, pretty, he was a snarky bitchy. I think he needed sleep or something because he was.
Yeah, he had a bad day that day, dude.
Did you see that? He was a
I did.
You know, like I get heat all the time for being too nice to Treyarch because they give great support. You know, they've supported this game better than any other one. And me taking heat, you know, for complimenting him and then him to come around and be such a fucking dick to me. Fuck that.
So, tell us how you really feel, bro.
Yeah, I feel like he was a jerk, man. You know, like I don't know. I've been good to him and he hasn't reciprocated, so dick. But,
well, at least he responds to your ass.
I'm not sure you want these responses, man, you know, but basically he told me off and said that, you know, he would never, you know, release what they did to sniper rifles, but I think he's making the wrong call. I think that what he should have done is, you know, let us know what kind of changes they're doing. And, you know, I understand his position of, you know, regardless of what he says, half the community is going to be pissed and, you know, they're going to be the vocal half. But still, you know, he should do it better. You know, he should tell us what changes they're making. There are people who are students of the game who want to know.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you look at my channel, I have, like, what, 15 videos on my channel, and not a single one has a sniper rifle in it. And the last week, I think I played 4 games without the sniper rifle. I mean, it's this buff is amazing, and all of the fans of the game are going to, you know, love on them if they explain why, you know, they've done what they've done. I went 45-0 with a sniper rifle. I've never done that in any Call of Duty ever. You know, it's like, I'd like to know what they did so I can, you know, applaud them for it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to put a sniper. I haven't been able to play a sniper much because I was out of town. I was out on a Disney cruise.
But, yeah, rub it in.
I need to try the sniper rifle. I need to try the competitive playlist. How's that?
It's awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, if you like playing with like 40 people.
Oh, it's not a popular list?
No, not popular at all. And you don't get 4v4 all the time either.
That is true.
You get threes a lot. You don't play
threes
with
threes and twos.
For some reason, the host connection is kind of weird. I was playing with New Kaiser. We were playing for some gameplay, I guess, 3 days ago, and he got lagged out and could not get back in the game at all. And if you're rolling 3v4 in competitive lists, it's just like I went from being 8-4 or 8-2 to being I think I had 9 and 28 as the final my final kill. It's like oof.
Yeah, you know, I think it'd be fun to grab 4 and run into other game battles teams. It's almost like my dream is that it's like a Black Ops organized scrim session where all these guys with game battles experience roam in this list, play against each other, and, you know, if you don't want to go through the whole matchmaking process, then you can play against competitive players. That'd be kind of cool, but
you know, it'd be kind of cool. A full party only list.
Yeah,
That would be smart.
That would be cooler than the competitive list. Because
think about it this way, though. The time in the lobby would be forever. Every time someone left, your time in the lobby would take, I mean, you'd be an hour game.
You finish the game, and then, like, it forces the other team that lost somebody to leave, just backs them all out. Then you got to wait for another.
But you know what would be neat if they had a rank, right? You know, like Halo, they have ranks, and I think it's completely based on win-loss and then some trickier things like beta and how many wins and losses and stuff like that. But I think the core of it is how many games you're winning. So if they had a rank that people cared about in the competitive playlist, kind of like, is it arena mode in Halo? Someone help me. Is it pro mode? But you know, when you get into those rank matches, everyone starts to really care about winning. That'd be neat if Call of Duty had something similar.
Well, Call of Duty does have something that people care about and overvalue right now. It's kill to death ratio. I think that would be the big one.
I guess there's KD, but, you know, it's tricky. It's hard to put together. It's hard for me to look at stats and figure out how good a player is, right? You know, my win-loss is really high, but it's as high as it is because I often play with other people, right? So, you know, my KD, I could have a much higher KD if I wanted to stay to the edge of the map and work for KD, right? That'd be an easy thing to do. Instead, I'm always that guy on B-Dom, and it hurts your KD. But if I played in a way that emphasized KD or only used good weapons, then that would help too. So there's win-loss, there's KD. Oh, and then there's score per minute. But the thing about score per minute is that it also gets hampered by playing with good teams. You know, if you were to roll with 5 really good players, you'd have a hard time getting the same score per minute you would with random players.
I'm going to go ahead and emphasize the fact that Woody said you need to use good weapons to hold a high KD. People talk shit about me because I have a 3.15 KD right now. It's like, seriously? I don't always use the fucking FAMAS. If I use the FAMAS every game I played, I'd be over 5, maybe 6 KD player. Period.
Yep.
Period.
People think I only use the FAMAS. People think I only use the FAMAS because I post so many videos with it. But I think it'd be more accurate to say I only get really good games with the FAMAS. You know? Like, I use the FAL. You just don't see those making it on YouTube because I suck. You know? That's the problem.
Shoot.
I haven't heard Kyle talk in a long time. Hi, Kyle.
I'm here. I'm just listening. I'm doing research.
You're looking at freaking grenade launchers. I've been watching your links go through.
Yeah. I want grenade launchers. Who doesn't?
Make it happen, man.
I'm going to scare the shit out of my neighbors.
Shoot, you carry that damn chain gun around when you get that. I'll scare the shit out of them.
What's your new place like? So you're renting a place for the moment, right? Because your future's wide open. You didn't want to be tied down to a house.
Yeah, it's really nice here. It's I'm like in the, I'm really off the beaten track. Like I'm on the lake. I don't know. It says 3-bedroom, but I went ahead and made another bedroom. It's kind of like a 4-bedroom type deal with like big vaulted ceilings, living room, and I'm upstairs like in like a loft type deal and big back porch. It's really nice here. It's super quiet. Like, don't have any neighbors really, and I love it.
You say you're on a lake? Are you literally on a lake?
Yeah, like I'm on, like, I've got my own dock and everything. And
that was
my question.
It has a dock, yeah. Huh?
Yeah, I was really hoping you were going to say you moved to, like, a country club or something, just because that would be hilarious.
Oh, my God. So, you have a house. That sounds nice, man.
It is nice, and it's really cheap. Like, whenever I tell somebody how much it is, they're like, wow, that's fucking cheap. Especially if they're from, like, Jersey or, like, California or something. But it's nice.
How's the internet? That's the key question.
Ooh, yeah.
Right now I've got 12 down and, like, less than one up. But it's still more than I had before. And I'm about to get it upgraded, so I'll have 15 down and, like, 3 up.
I would kill myself with less than one up. I would seriously, my wife would hate me because I would be screaming all the time.
I would fight a motherfucker for, like, 0.6 up.
Yeah.
Right now.
Dude, Wings, I have a guest house. Come stay. Seriously, we got 5 up, and we're about to get 105 up.
105 up?
Yeah, 105 down, 105 up. It's coming in November.
I have to talk to my providers and see what they can offer.
I got to talk to my providers, too. They'll just suck
my dick.
I got to
talk to Aviator. What you doing?
It's fiber, dude. Comcast is putting fiber in across their entire thing. They're trying to compete with Fios.
Comcast That's is awesome. Not even in my area.
Are you like right beside the hub or something?
No, dude. I live like an hour from everywhere.
Wow.
How you get fiber an hour from everywhere?
I don't know,
7
man.
Miles outside of town. I can't get shit.
I need to figure out how. I need to make some phone calls or something. Get some business lines.
Can I get a price on that guest house?
Can I get a price on that guest house? Sure, man. Let's Skype me later. I'll hook you up, bruh.
To pay rent or something.
Woody, I got a question for you.
Bring it.
And I've been looking for an answer for this in a lot of places. Now, I have a sports radio background. I did an internet sports radio show for 3 years. Just regular old sports talk. And one of the big things that I've been trying to do, or that we tried to do before we, you know, put the show on or seemingly permanent hiatus, was we were trying to get into hockey. Now, for the longest time, I've heard you're a hockey guy, and I've been trying to get into hockey. I'm from Chicago, so obviously the Blackhawks winning the Stanley Cup was a big thing, but it didn't really get me into it. I was wondering if you have any suggestions for really getting into hockey like I get into baseball or football. Do you have anything, tips, tricks?
The thing about hockey is it's so much better in real life. Like, if you go to a game and you see it and you hear it, something about hockey just isn't captured very well on television, and it's a bit of a bummer. I think it's why the sport is being held back the way it is. Going there in person is just an incredible thing. But you know, the basics, like, do you know anything about hockey? Do you know how to play? Like
I never played it. I mean, I know the basics of it. I mean, I know the offsides. I know boarding, kind of. and all those things. But, you know, because I tried to get into it for this show because I thought, you know, that's not a lot of thing. That's not a big thing people are talking about here in Chicago is hockey. And I thought, well, you know, if I can learn about it and talk about it intelligently, you know, that might be something people are interested in. But I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't stay interested in it and really become that fan like I am with other sports.
Man, I don't know what to say. I check out a game in person, but it's hard to give advice on how to like something. You know,
it's an awesome thing. I enjoy the sport. I enjoy the sport. I mean, just really getting into it, like following it with the passion that other people do. You know, like knowing the players, knowing the ins and outs of like the
alcohol,
you know, the
helps.
Blue light trap and stuff like that.
I'm serious, man. Like any sport in the world is fun when you add alcohol. Like, first of all, let me just say this. I know we've got some international listeners. I find soccer or football, as Europeans and South Americans call it, incredibly dull. Like, I mean,
we can't be friends anymore, dude.
Like, seriously, like a high scoring game of soccer is what, like 4-1, 4-2? Some, like, seriously, like I've never seen one get much higher than that. I watched the World Cup one year with a bunch of European guys and got hammered. That was fucking awesome. I don't even know what happened. All I know is some big dude headbutted this other guy and everybody was upset, and then I had some more beers and then it was great. It was great. But seriously, I was at a Mexican restaurant 2 days ago and I'm sitting there and like all the Mexican guys were gathered around. It was like Barcelona was playing somebody else, maybe Mexico, the way these guys were getting fired up. But like I was watching it and we sat there and ate an entire meal and had a couple drinks and they never scored. The entire time we were at the restaurant, they just juggled the ball back and forth in the middle of the field, and at one point somebody kicked the ball into the stands. I'm thinking to myself, that's the kind of action you see when you've got like 4-year-olds playing a game. You ever see like 4-year-old basketball, how like they don't know what the fuck to do and nobody scores? That's what professional fucking soccer is like most of the time, to be honest. Like, I get that these guys are amazing athletes, and like if they were playing against like a lower level team, that they would just be scoring left and right on them and shit. But seriously, if it's such a balanced game and such a like so difficult to score, that's just not entertaining to me. And I like, and that's, this is coming from somebody who watches baseball. Like, you want to talk about boring games? Baseball's boring as shit unless you like the team. But soccer just like drives me nuts.
I'm gonna disagree. Baseball is the only sport I can watch because I love the hitter pitcher duel.
Yeah. Now, one thing about baseball that like a lot of people don't like, I like watching pitchers duel. Like, I like when you've got like I remember watching like the Braves play against the Astros maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and it was like Clemens versus Smoltz or something. It was like some really good pitcher matchup, and like the final score was like 1-0. You know, after 2.5 hours. But that was great for me.
My
because
favorite,
there was.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm done.
Dude, my favorite baseball game of all time. I was at in Arlington, Texas, watching the Rangers play the Athletics, and it was the longest. It holds the world record still for the longest, or at least I believe it does, the longest regulation innings game of all time. It was like 7.5 hours. The score was 21-19 in 9 innings. Worst pitchers ever, and that was so entertaining. Like, seriously, dude, it was like 7 hours. I was there the whole time because every throw, it was another home run. It was just beautiful.
But did they start using non-pitchers?
I don't know.
Get, like, outfielders to play? And
I remember that game. That wasn't – when was that? That wasn't that long ago, was it?
No, that was like 97, dude.
Was it? Okay, well, there was one maybe a few years ago where, like, it was something crazy like that, and it was like 18 or 20 runs scored. Maybe the I want to say the Rockies were involved, but there was like 20 runs scored. But yeah, those are fun. I think you could spice baseball up pretty well if like
cheerleaders.
Well, cheerleaders would be
nice. Steroids legal.
That aluminum bats is, aluminum bats would go a long ways too.
Dude, aluminum bats.
Oh no, you get a pitcher killed like that.
Exactly. Death.
Yes.
Now we're spicing it up, dude. If hitters had KD ratios, that'd be awesome. It'd be the best sport in the world.
You know what we need? You know what we need? We really need to make baseball better. Let's just break this down, man. We really need a 37-millimeter grenade launcher to make baseball better. That would do it.
Like, you know, you hear, like, whenever you watch, like, futuristic movies, they've always got some weird, crazy sport of the future. Like, seriously, like, here's my idea for baseball. All right, aluminum bats would definitely be cool. More padding on the players, make it a full contact sport, you know, when you're going into the bases and stuff. Like, come on, let's tackle some people. None of this bullshit about, you know, you just stand there and I'm going to let you tag me. No, I'm taking you out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Also, one out of every 25 baseballs explode when you hit them. All right? Just saying, nobody knows when it's coming. We're reaching the eighth inning. You know what that means? It's Exploder Round! You know, you never know. The batters are scared shitless. The catcher, he's sweating hard. Like, nobody wants to catch it, hit it, or really even throw it. So it's going to be cool. That, or one idea I had was, you know, these pitchers now are like these elite motherfuckers getting paid $15 million a year. Fuck that shit. Everyone out on the field should be a pro, just like they are now. The pitcher should come from the local high school. Then you've got some like 85 to 75 games. Then it's all about defense. Expand the field out to like 450 feet, maybe 500 feet.
You're going to need that if you put aluminum bats in that bitch.
Yeah, aluminum bats, 500-foot fields, and high school pitchers. You want to talk about fun.
I remember I hit a ball 340-some yards with an aluminum bat, and that was when I was like 15.
Yeah, the White Sox, being here in Chicago, the White Sox once before a game gave Frank Thomas an aluminum bat and let him go to town in batting practice. And apparently, for those of you that have ever seen U.S. Cellular Field, they've got those big-ass billboards behind the concourse in the outfield. And he was apparently banging the baseballs off the tops of those billboards with the aluminum bat. Dude, of course, that's Frank Thomas, but that's an idea of what you'll be getting.
Frank Thomas was such a beast, man. That guy was huge.
He's a huge guy, dude.
He was.
Yeah, you just get so much bat speed with the aluminum bat. And then
it has no give either.
Yeah, that too. It's a fucking aluminum bat. So, you know, you can do crazy stuff.
It's a piece of steel.
Well, it's a piece of aluminum, but...
Aluminum steel.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not.
Wait a minute. Aluminum bat is made out of... Aluminum
it's made
steel?
Of aluminum. There's no steel. It's just aluminum.
Yeah.
Aluminum
is a grade of steel, though. Aluminum.
No, it's not. Aluminum is an element.
Yeah, it's an element. Sorry, Wings.
Steel is made out of iron.
I was just thinking about aluminized steel, like a maglite.
Oh, yeah. Aluminized,
Yeah, aluminum's own element. Steel is iron. I want to say. It's still an element.
Steel's an
steel
iron.
Not
is
an,
iron.
It's iron. Iron, yeah.
I don't know. Tempered iron?
No, it's treated with carbon. I think that's what makes steel. It comes from the carbon in the forging process, I want to say. Anyway,
I'm going to bring up this game on baseball before we leave this topic. Anybody remember that Braves game in the playoffs against the Yankees where they ran out of every pitcher they had in the bullpen and they had like a backup pinch hitter that used to pitch in his high school days? They
nice.
Had it in the bullpen.
No, like, but I'd like to see that. Inning. I want to see
Dude,
more of that.
That's awesome. Can we watch that, please, right now? Can we bring it up on the stream? Because I would watch that right now.
No, I will lose my channel. What next? You want to run some porn on the stream?
Yeah, dude, let's make it happen. Right. Let's just run Kimmy J's intro.
Oh, man, I remember that game.
That's crazy.
Yeah, there's right. just some sports that just don't lend themselves to, like, broadcasting. I mean, some of the coolest sports, like, I mean, paintball's
like women's sports?
Well, yeah, women's sports. Well, you know, sometimes women's sports are fucking awesome. Like
volleyball.
You ever see, like, the lingerie football volleyball. Games? Like, those are fucking awesome. I'd much rather watch, like, some hot-ass chick, like, you know, go back in the pocket than Peyton Manning. Like, come on, let's be real here, especially if he's wearing a thong.
I went to pick up pizza tonight, right? And it's, like, this sports bar that makes really good pizza, and... there's volleyball up on these TVs all around. I'm like, oh, sweet volleyball. And then I look more closely, and it's men's volleyball.
Oh,
I'm like, what? Oh, dude, who watches that? You're doing it wrong. You don't put men's volleyball in a sports bar. Jeez, rookies.
Women's gymnastics, another good
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. Women's gymnastics, especially Olympic style, you start feeling like a pedophile real quickly.
So fast, man.
Yeah. College gymnastics. How about college? Then you know, at least you hope.
I don't know. I understand why golf has commentators on it.
Yeah.
Where would golf be without the commentators?
Because Vern Lundquist needs a job, damn it.
Yeah, but dude, if you ever watch golf with an ex-golf pro, like, go watch golf sometime with a golf pro. Go to some country club. It's really really entertaining. Like, I never thought I'd say that, honestly. I was, like, 17 the first time I ever watched golf with an ex-pro, and my mind was blown. I was like, dude, this is actually interesting. I dig it.
Yeah, if you've got... Golf is one of those things where, like, if you're not, like, a... You know, if you're not a golfer, there's a lot of nuances to that game, but it makes it really cool if you got somebody there that's explaining to you what the fuck they're doing out there. Otherwise, it looks like... It looks like you're like, I could do that. Fuck.
When I was in New Jersey, I used to watch golf in the wintertime just to see nice weather. It's like, oh, that's nice. That's beautiful. They got some good weather on the TV.
You guys ever played like a golf video game?
Yeah.
I had a buddy that played the Tiger Woods game like religiously.
That shit is fun as shit.
Really?
You know what? Wings, I was thinking of bringing out the challenge to you. Are you ready for this?
What? Keep in mind, I've never golfed a day in my life.
It's not about golf, right? So, you've got your hands full. I'm widely regarded as the best dancer on YouTube. And we have the Kinect dance game where they kind of teach you how to dance and then you do your thing. Are you familiar with the Kinect dance game?
Oh, I got the river rafting shit, though.
You have Kinect already?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm throwing down. I will challenge you to the Kinect dancing game.
Can I download it on the Xbox thingy?
Is it called Dance Central? I'm checking out the game here. I want to make sure I get the title right.
It is Dance Central, yes.
Dance Central?
Don't ask why I know that.
All right. I'm going to need time to practice now.
Yeah, you do, because I'm boss. All right. I mean, dude, I've shown some footage of me dancing on my channel already, and... Yeah, it won't
that
be easy
would
to
go very large on me with my fat rolls jiggling.
Oh,
dude,
people are gonna love it.
I'm 6'4" and I'm white. Can I do this too?
I just did one-on-one for starters.
I'm down as fuck to challenge you in a game of bubble up.
I don't know what that is, but I'll do it.
It's the game. I want to get on this dance thing. Can I get in on this?
Dude, we should do it. We should do it.
Or we can do cracks where you can like we got to like the cracks happen on the window. You got to plug them up.
We could do, dude, like a round-robin tournament, maybe.
Yes, dude. I was going to say, do a fucking tourney of this. This would be brilliant.
The Screw March Madness, it's the new thing. Dance Central, baby. Here we come. I'm going to go out and buy the Kinect tonight just to make this happen.
I got two. What?
Do they have like a Saturday Night Fever version? Because that's what I want to be like. And they was dancing.
Oh, dude. I'll pick up a new Kinect just for the man cave, and I will rock this. All right, Wings, there it is. You have been thrown down. You and I, and then we'll expand it and start bringing in other people.
I have to go by the game. Only thing I got is the one that came with it, which was that like river rafting crap.
All right. I don't know if you can download it or not, but I'm sure you can go get it.
He's got a new truck, man. Drive that shiz.
Now you're talking. Man, that's
I'm
how we're
about
wrap
driving
the
that
podcast.
Shit to damn Florida here in a minute for 105 connection.
Anytime, bro. Until July, my wife's pregnant. Until you can't come in July.
This is on, man. I'm gonna practice up my man swag and other moves that they taught me, and we will dance. We will dance. We'll put it on my channel and show the two of us. Oh, we can do the same song. We can do the same song. We got to film us, and we got to film our character in game, and we got to show. We'll use the four quadrants, you know, use it upright. Mm-hmm. It'll be awesome. I got it all figured out. We'll play. You have a camera, right?
Yeah, I got a couple cameras.
I've seen you've been doing more IRL stuff now. I don't know why I asked that. So yep, we'll get this done, man. It'll be awesome.
Oh yeah, I'm about to bust it out. Keep in mind, people, it is 11:22 p.m. 5th of May. Now, I've never danced a damn second in my life, and I'm going to take this championship away from Woody.
Dude, get on my level. You keep in mind, I have been training since the sixth grade for this very moment. I know the lawnmower. I know the sprinkler. I know the Mike Tyson. I got moves you've never heard of.
I can you do the fucking chicken.
Get on my level, Wiggs. I am going to mop the floor with you, and I'm going to show you
I've
how dancing is done.
I've watched a lot of motherfuckers play Dance Dance Revolution.
Dude, all right, really, really quick on that topic. Is that not the craziest game to watch someone that's really good at that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
shocking.
Insane, dude. I look at these guys. First off, they're perspiring as if they just moved like three pallets of bricks. Like these guys are like, because it's never the skinny guy. It's always the guy that has like an extra 40 pounds on him, or girl, for that matter. But they're moving like they're like, you know, 26 pounds, 3 foot tall, freaking jiving, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like they're the bottom of their body is like possessed by Satan. And Satan is one fucking hell of a dancer. It's like
going everywhere. And how many people has Satan killed?
10.
None.
10. 10. Under God's instruction.
There we go.
Second degree murder.
Yeah, dude, I'm thinking about it. With a 2.4 million kills and only 10 assists, God clearly he's host.
Host.
He's host. All right. Is that wrap up Painkiller already? Episode 51?
I got one last question. Does God's son Jesus dying that one time and coming back to life, is that their second chance?
Tactical insertion.
Oh, gosh.
I want nothing to do with that comment.
All right, guys. That was Painkiller.